In our second conference now, we're going to deal with the same topic that we've been talking about already. But at this point, I want to include all the messages we have from this beautiful work called Mary Speaks to Her Beloved Priests. And there are at least five chapters that are just marvelous on how important the Rosary is and what Our Lady says about that. If you want to take note of this, I'll give you the page number. Yeah. And you can find it in your own copy. On page 263, on the Feast of the Rosary, by the way, given back in 1979, Our Lady had this to say, "By this prayer," meaning the Rosary, "you offer your Heavenly Mother a powerful force for intervening for the salvation of many of my poor straying children. Your entire Rosary is like an immense chain of love and salvation with which you are able to encircle persons and situations and even influence all the events of your time." Listen to that. 1979, and you had messages earlier, 1980, 88, 90, 91. She said this a long time ago. Notice that? I'll repeat. "To influence persons and situations, even influence all the events of your time." That means all over the world, geographically, politically, socially, whatever. Diseases.
What book are you reading?
Mary Speaks to Her Beloved Priests. Page 263. Now she continues, "I want to intervene as a mother to shorten the time of the trial and to comfort you in the sufferings which await you." We've been through this. What's this? 90, 73, 83, 93, 25 years ago. We've been through some. "Everything can still be changed if you, my children, continue with greater generosity and perseverance in the recitation of the Rosary." We saw that confirmed. "The Rosary is the prayer which I myself came down from heaven to ask of you. You are able by it to lay bare the plots of my adversary, escape from many of his deceits, defend yourselves from many dangers which he puts in your way. It preserves you from evil, brings you ever closer to me." Now let's look at each of those sections. "To lay bare the plots of my adversary." We know all over the world Satan is making his plans. We know that the politicians of the world are being used by Satan. They want to have what? The one card, the one food chain that's already set up. Look at the currency. In Europe now, one currency, okay? The Lord knows all this. And here Our Lady is saying, "You're able to lay bare the plots." See? "And also escape from many of his deceits." He's trying to snare us in different ways. And Our Lady is enlightening different people knowledgeable to reveal what they're doing. Like this printout I gave you on the smart card and the chip that I gave you some time ago, there's the plot. Notice that it's being revealed. "The many deceits. You defend yourselves from many dangers which he puts in your way." All kinds of things can happen. I'm not prepared to say that's the spirit of evil, but three times I fell down the stairs. Twice in concrete stairs and once in the house over a period of time. Could have broken my neck. So I'm being very careful now when I go downstairs. Accidents, we don't know just what's behind that. "Also preserves you from evil and brings you ever closer to me." Evil means all kinds of things that are not good, but brings you ever closer to me. It means Our Lady's shield of protection is around us. Now she ends that chapter with, the church will be defended and saved by its victorious mother through the power which comes to me from you by means of the frequent recitation of the Holy Rosary. How much clearer could she make that? The church will be defended. We're praying for the Holy Father, praying for our priests, bishops, and cardinals. How many of them are loyal? How many are not loyal? See? The church will be defended, saved, through the power. Notice that comes to me from you through the Rosary. She's going to say more about that as we go into this. Now on page 403, if you want to make a note of that, the title of this, The Dragon Will Be Shackled, meaning Satan. He said, it's necessary for you to employ a weapon which is both secure and invincible. This weapon is your prayer. And she's going to say the Rosary. Notice that? She will say later on, it's the Rosary. Now she continues by saying, especially you can free an immense number of souls whom Satan has succeeded in imprisoning. Prayer possesses a potent force and starts a chain reaction in good that is far more powerful than any atomic reaction. Notice how she brings a nuclear power. It can free an immense number of souls from Satan, who succeeded in imprisoning them, or from imprisoning them. Prayer possesses a potent force, starts a chain reaction. Notice that, in good, like a wave. Have you ever noticed that? Throw a stone in a lake. It starts a ripple, and watch it. It doesn't stop until it reaches the shore. Keeps on moving until something stops it, the shore. So then, a wave of goodness starts. First thing you know, it's moving on and on, okay? Let me finish, because we'll have questions afterward. The prayer of my predilection, in other words, the prayer I love most, she said, is the Holy Rosary. There's your answer. I unite myself with those who say it. I request it from all with solicitude and maternal preoccupation. Means maternal concern. So when we say the Rosary, should have that impression. You're not just saying it alone. That's another thing too, when we talk about the divine will, by the way. Here's to make it more meaningful, right? Jesus said, I do with you whatever you're doing. So when you're praying, I pray with you. All right? So he does pray with us. But we're in his divine will. We're with him where? Everywhere, because he is keeping everybody alive. So he said, in prayer you join me then with everybody. Who? All the millions who are saying the Rosary. How about all the millions who are not saying the Rosary? And we can say, Lord, I will substitute my Rosary for the 6 billion people who are in the world. As many as do not have the Rosary, as if they too were saying it. How about that? If you want to say a powerful Rosary. Remember Jesus said, if one prays, but in my will, they do as much as 10, if they pray for 10. Or 100, if 100, or 1,000. Remember that expression we had some time ago?
Yes.
He said, I make up for it. Why not make it as powerful as we can? And here's where insights on the divine will do help a lot in your prayer life. How about that? Now, Our Lady also says this then. Satan's pride will again be conquered by the humility of little ones, and the red dragon will find himself decisively humiliated and defeated when I bind him, not by a great chain, but by a very frail cord, the Holy Rosary. Isn't that humiliating? Now, that makes sense in God's terms. See? He deserves it, and he's going to get clobbered. She said, it is a prayer that you say together with me. When you invite me to pray for you, I accede to your request and mingle my voice with yours, and I unite my prayer to yours. These are all insights on how to make your rosary more meaningful to you. See, rather than just mumbling words, saying it alone, you're not alone. A Blessed Mother is there. Use different images. If you're kneeling, imagine she's right in front of you, and your hands are on her knees, and you're looking up into her face. I once told that to nuns, and I heard them say, oh. You know, it's a beautiful way to pray. Why not use the imagination? And she said, consequently, it becomes more and more efficacious because your Heavenly Mother is suppliant omnipotence. Mother means all-powerful. Prayerful all-powerfulness. When I ask for what I ask for, I always obtain. Because Jesus can never say no to what his mother requests of him. And we always knew that. But here's what she's saying. In the rosary, you become formed for the perfect glory of the Father with the frequent repetition of the prayer Jesus taught you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's as far as she goes on the prayer, but she reminds us of the entire prayer. And it's more relevant to us since we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I ask you to make use of the Holy Rosary as the most efficacious weapon for fighting in the great battle under the command of, quote, the Book of Revelations, the woman clothed with the sun. Multiply your cenacles of prayer and fraternity. Consecrate yourselves to my Immaculate Heart. Frequently recite the Holy Rosary. So she said, frequently recite the Holy Rosary. Then the powerful red dragon will be shackled by this chain, and his margin of action will become ever more restricted. In the end, he will be left impotent and harmless. Powerless, in other words, and harmless. So there's another meaning to your rosary. Every time you say it, it's like putting a chain around Satan. And by the way, that can refer to loved ones who've left the church, or rather have, well, more or less left their Christian practice, and they're what? They're open game for Satan. So you can restrict him. You can also keep them in mind like that, for that purpose. Now, look what she says, especially about Satan. See, she's in command. She's already putting the chain around him, but how is she doing that? With millions of rosaries. And Satan doesn't like that. But we are gleeful. Every time you do that, you whip, swing the whip, the chain of the rosary. Now, if you have any questions, keep them in mind until I'm finished. Then we'll try to, or maybe it might be good to just have some discussion on this right now. Maybe that's a better thing to do. Anybody a question so far? All right, then we'll move on to the next section. On page 521, Our Lady says, the rosary brings you to peace. If you allow yourselves to be led with docility by me, you will always feel at your side the precious help which is given you by the angels of the Lord, the blessed and the saints of paradise, and all the souls who are still being purified in purgatory. And she's, of course, referring to our time of prayer. on page 523 in that same chapter. I want to add a thought here that she has. She says, follow Jesus, or rather she's talking about Pope John Paul and his battle against the spirits of evil and trying to keep the Christian church safe. And he tells us, he is already announcing to you my sure victory. Follow him along the road which he points out. If you wish to prepare with me a new and radiant Pentecost for the whole church. And then she adds here, to fight and conquer all this evil, which is attempting to submerge the entire human race, you must have recourse to the powerful weapon of prayer. And so it is necessary to ask for this gift through a continual, incessant, and trusting prayer. And of course, what is that? The rosary. She says, pray with me. Invoke with your Heavenly Mother a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which will lead it to live the experience of a second and radiant Pentecost. That's another aspect of your prayer in the rosary. It's going to bring about what she calls the second Pentecost. Pray above all with the prayer of the Holy Rosary. Let the rosary be for everyone the powerful weapon to be made use of in these times. The rosary brings you peace. With this prayer, you are able to obtain from the Lord the great grace of a change of hearts, of the conversion of souls, of the return of all humanity to God, along the road of repentance, of love, of divine grace, of holiness. Now there's a paragraph that needs some explaining. You're able to obtain from the Lord the grace of a change of heart. That means conversion. How many parents and just friends, relatives, family are praying for wavered members? Change of heart. Also conversion of souls. That's along the same lines. Change of heart. And also the return of all humanity to God. So we're not just praying for a few people. We can pray for all the countries like the Mohammedan world, the Hindu world, the Buddhist world, that's China, and East Asia, the extreme Asia, and all that, billions over there, and Melanesia, the islands there, they have something like 200 million people, all those islands. Now bring along the road of repentance, love, divine grace, and holiness. She's saying, in other words, it is a special means of bringing God's power and all his blessings upon mankind. She breaks it down, yes. She says, each day in silence, in hiddenness. Now what does that mean? All of you at home, who's going to praise you? Who's going to see you saying quietly your rosary? Who's going to say, that's great, during wonders? Nobody's there. See? In hiddenness, silence, the Heavenly Mother is waging her battle against the adversary and is working by means of the most extraordinary signs and manifestations to change the heart of the world. All those silent rosaries that you and I and millions of others are saying, and grandmothers and people I've sat on the plane, grandmothers sitting beside me, quietly, her beads going through her fingers, you know, all over the world. Our Lady is saying, your Heavenly Mother is waging her battle against the adversary. And Satan is saying, where's that coming from? Where's that coming from? And is working by the most extraordinary signs and manifestations. We heard about them. Khrushchev, the explosions, okay? To change the heart of the world. That means all the peoples in the world, countries. Any question on this?
Before, we used to say, I am with you, when two or three are gathered, I am in your midst. Now, if you're alone, you're not alone because you've got the Blessed Mother with you.
You've got a guardian angel with you.
Yeah,
so you're always with.
Jesus is always with.
And we have the divine presence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three.
Yes.
You got a lot. You got a lot of company. Oh, by the way, you've got your patron saint.
Prayer, power in prayer. If we all prayed, can cigarettes be eliminated?
Yes, she said. Situations. Mm-hmm. It refers to everything on earth. Mm. About the drug for the young. Okay. So whatever you're thinking of, that can also change those situations, okay? So nothing is too small, in other words, to include in our petitions. All right? Jill?
Father, what about the group rosary? I mean, I was always, like, to promote a rosary, I thought that was always such a good thing, and to say it in a group, in like in church, is that, is it still...
Oh, that's better than just one person, of course. Yes, always.
We always say it after the Mass.
Yeah. Does it have the power of the as many people are saying there, instead of, like you say by yourself, it's one rosary, if you're saying it with eight people, it has the power of eight people.
Yes, it's better than one person, unless they're a saint. Their faith might be better than 100 other people.
That's true.
But the faith of 100 people put together can be tremendous. Yes, it makes sense. So we should, in other words, have what we call a family rosary, a group rosary, and that's what we call the family or communion of prayer. Yes. Any other question?
You know, like in the morning, I turned on Mother Angelica's channel, and Father Rich Pacwa says the rosary, and he has, like, it's in the Holy Land, and he has this whole pilgrimage. Now, God is a respecter of no place or no time, so would all of those people reciting the rosary then in this pilgrimage be united with the rosary
Absolutely.
That I say alone.
Wherever in the world they're saying a rosary, we're one with them. In other words, and also the wish. Some years ago in my book, Prayer of Love, The Art of Aspiration, I quoted John Tower, the Dominican, the mystic, who said, God takes the wish for the deed. Now, if you were to say, Lord, even though there may be 5 million, but I know there are 6 billion people on earth, I would wish, Lord, that on the lips of all these 6 billion, in every hand there would be a rosary as I'm saying my rosary. Please accept this. Leave it up to the Lord. And you take the wish. How about 6 billion rosaries being sent today? What do you think will happen?
She just confirmed what I was going to say to you, and it said, Claire,
see?
About Father Mitch with the rosary. I say it with the, this is all Mother Angel,
right.
Then, at 3 o'clock is the chaplet, and not on 25, just on my dish. And at 3:30, the rosary again. And then 9:30 at night is the rosary again.
Mm-hmm.
And yes.
That's nice.
So I have it on blasting.
Mm-hmm.
He's in his bedroom. He can hear it. You know? I have it blasting because, you know, he's prayerful. But, you know, he's too proud to say, yeah, I'm praying.
Uh-huh.
You know?
All right. He has no choice.
But will that
count?
Get prayed by us,
Mom. It's buried in the walls. The walls are resounding with prayer.
But he never tells me to turn anything off that's on that.
All right. Well, that's along the lines we're saying. In other words, God takes the wish for the deed. Hold on to that. And any other question on this so far? All right, so let's move on. Page 786. Actually, it's 86 and 7. it's entitled The Angel with the Key and the Chain. Here again, Our Lady is saying what she already said before, but in a new setting. The rosary is my prayer. It is the prayer which I came down from heaven to ask of you, because it is the weapon with which you must make use of in these times of great battle. And it is a sign of my assured victory. So every rosary you're saying is making its mark. My victory will be won when Satan, with his powerful army made up of all the infernal spirits, will be shut up within his kingdom of darkness and death, from which he will no longer be able to escape to harm the world. There is to come down from heaven, for this reason, an angel to whom there is given the key of the abyss, and a chain with which this angel will bind the great dragon, the ancient serpent Satan, with all of his followers. I am the queen of the angels, because it is of the very nature of my role to be sent by the Lord to accomplish the very great and important mission of conquering Satan. The key with which it is possible to open and shut the door to the abyss has been given to me. The key is the sign of the power which belongs to him who is Lord and Master of a place which belongs to him. And of course she's saying it is Jesus Christ. He is the Master and King of all the universe, namely of heaven, earth, and of the abyss. My son Jesus alone possesses the key of the abyss, because he himself is the key of David. Jesus consigns this key, which represents his divine power, into my hands, because as his mother, mediatrix between you and my son, there is entrusted to me the task of conquering Satan and all his powerful army of evil. The chain with which this great dragon is to be bound is made up of prayer made with me and by means of me. This prayer is the Holy Rosary. A chain has, in fact, the function first of all limiting action, then of imprisoning, and finally of making ineffective every activity of the one who has been bound by it. The chain of the Holy Rosary has first of all the function of limiting the action of my adversary. This is important. Every rosary which you recite with me has the effect of restricting the action of the evil one, of drawing souls away from his pernicious influence, of giving great impetus to the expansion of goodness in the life of many of my children. The chain of the Holy Rosary has also the effect of imprisoning Satan, that is, of making his action powerless, and of diminishing, weakening more and more the force of his diabolical power. So each rosary, recited well, deals a mighty blow to the power of evil, and it represents one part of his reign which is destroyed. So nobody, no matter how small or how old or how few there are, have a power over Satan. One of the last things he would want then is the rosary to be said. So whatever you forget, say it. Sometimes I've been busy, and it's about 12 o'clock midnight before I got time to say the rosary. Say it. The chain of the Holy Rosary brings about in the end the result of making Satan completely harmless. His great power is destroyed. All the evil spirits are cast into the pool of fire and sulfur. The door is shut by me with the key of the power of Christ, and thus they will no longer be able to go out into the world to do harm to souls. Now you understand why I'm asking you to multiply everywhere the cenacles of prayer with the recitation of the Holy Rosary, meditation on my word, and your consecration to my Immaculate Heart. The humble, fragile cord of the Holy Rosary forms the strong chain with which I will take as my prisoner the dark ruler of the world, the enemy of God, and of his faithful servants. So the pride of Satan will once again be defeated by the power of the little, the humble, and the poor. As I announce to you today that this, my great victory, is near at hand, the victory which will bring you to your assured liberation, I will give you the comfort of my motherly presence among you. So what is that telling you about, well, it's the chastisement and so forth, and here's what our saying is said, is the victory is near at hand. So we cannot discount, in other words, that it's 2 years away. Some have said it may be by the year 2004, but that's not what Our Lady said. The Jubilee year of the year 2000, we will have the new Pentecost. How will all the signs mentioned come into effect? That's where the modification comes in. Many of the punishments may be entirely removed, with a minimum of chastisement. But we can't minimize what the Lord wants to do. In other words, if he wants to do it. But it's his wisdom and love and mercy that often modify his justice. See? Can one man satisfy God's justice? Yes, it can. But God is the one to choose that as a measure. See? He might require far more. That's God's, has that right to do that. But each Mass is infinite in its value. I mean, there's no limit to his blessing. But we can place limits on it to us. So the power of the Rosary cannot be underestimated. Because it, in other words, give our Blessed Mother the opportunity to use her power given her by Jesus to influence everything that's happening in the world today. And so don't place a small value on your rosary, as you say it. Okay. Any question you want to ask so far?
Grace is being poured on us that we take things for granted lots of times. Mm-hmm. And we should really be more thankful for what's happening. And I believe in miracles, too.
Well, enough people don't believe in miracles, consequently we don't have them.
Oh, well,
that's one reason why the Lord said the reason there are not enough miracles is people who do not believe.
Yeah. Yes.
And I just received from Michael Scanlon, Father Michael from Steubenville, the thing he wrote on, even priests don't believe in miracles.
Sure, I've
so
heard that.
He sent me four of them, long copies, so I'm going to give one to our church. Mm-hmm. I'll give you one the next time we get together. He sent me four of them because he did a beautiful, talk on miracles are happening every day, and lay people have to be told what the miracles are in their lives when they share with a priest or with another lay person. We all have these miracles, but you have to see it and know it, with the wisdom and knowledge that you're teaching today.
Right, yeah. Well, just look at the Eucharist now. How about the appearances of the blood in the host, the chalice? There's more of that happening, okay? And the Lord is saying, this is the greatest miracle of all. I want to prove that I'm really there. See? Anyone else have a question? Then let us move on to the next text. On page 812, there isn't much there, but it's another insight. on the rosary. That's just one paragraph. Here Our Lady is talking about inordinate activity, not giving time to prayer, talking about the dangers in our spiritual life. Another danger which threatens you is that of allowing yourself to be taken up with inordinate activity, and so forgetting the powerful force which prayer has in obtaining the grace of conversion for many of my poor sinful children. And so I've invited you to pray much for the conversion of sinners by showing you through my little daughter Bernadette that the most efficacious prayer, the prayer which is most preferred by me, is that of the Holy Rosary. She does say a few things there about the chapter that we're discussing here has what Our Lady calls the dangers which threaten you. And she enumerates a number of them, and this is one. But she says, lastly, there's a continual danger of falling ill, of allowing yourself to be seized by discouragement and lack of confidence, thus reducing you to a true spiritual powerlessness. And so I have wished also to manifest myself as a medicine for your ills, a help in your needs, a support in your human weakness. And how? Through the rosary. Any question on this? Our next selection is page 867. This was delivered on May 1st, and the title of it is The Hour of Calvary. The rosary which you recite has a very great power against evil and against the numerous enticements of my adversary, to the reign of Satan which is spreading, to the slavery of sin which is subjugating many of my children, to evil which is instilling its venom in hearts, to the snares of the evil one which have become subtle and dangerous, to the powerful force of Freemasonry which has succeeded in insinuating itself everywhere, to the cult of Satan, which is spreading, respond with the prayer of the Holy Rosary. This is my prayer. It is your prayer. Again, note the occasions she mentions here. Against evil and against numerous enticements of the spirit of evil. Then she mentions the evil which is instilling its venom in the hearts of the people. Do you know it's by means of television that a lot of this is done? When we least suspect it, through the ads, and if we're careless about what we watch, unless you monitor it, then you're going to have something inserted into your mind through what you see. And Satan is gearing up all this. These people out there to make money, those are along his lines. Covetousness, greed, see? And they'll use all types of motivation. And to the snares of the evil which have become subtle and dangerous, through all the media, all things that we read, through the eye, through what you hear, and the powerful force of Freemasonry. The reason why it has succeeded so long is it's been hidden. See, the less you know of it, the more powerful they are. They are a screen, but they're like a net. If you break one part of the net, like a fishnet, all the rest binds together. They're all tied together in little squares. Break a little square, that's the only thing that's hurt. But they have so many tentacles out. Cut one off, you've got 50 others. See? And through all of them, they manage to work evil in the world. It's been said that Freemasonry caused communism. And of course, atheism. See? They have unlimited power, unlimited money, resources, and that they control the stock market. They can make it go up or down when they want to. And by the way, it's been historic. They said it's never been this high before, a number of times recently.
Is it true it's going to be a big crash when it
That's what it's been said a number of times. It's just going to completely wiped out. So we don't know just how or when, but I know the Lord wants us to be detached, because we have so many things in our world today that are making life luxurious and hedonistic, in other words, pleasures of all kinds, that they're like a glue that sticks to you, that unless we get rid of it, it's going to stand in the way of a complete detachment. We should belong entirely to the Lord. There should be no attachments that we cannot let go. And so the Lord is going to deal with all of that. He's already doing that in places where they have a radical destruction. The floods, as far back as, 4 or 5 years ago, 6 states were involved. How many homes completely gone?
Yes.
You know, people in their whole lives. Not that we wish that, but the Lord is saying, am I first in your life, or what is it? Yeah. See? It wasn't an accident.
Is that really God's will?
It's His permissive will.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Permissive. He allowed it in order to... What? I think a lot of people turned to God, maybe didn't before. Yes.
So many people who you see on television who lost their homes and everything they owned said, I saw that they said that, but we're alive, we still have our life, and then they just let go of everything.
You can start, yeah.
See, they learn how many things are cluttering up their life.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the courage. Well, who of us has the courage to say, I'm going to leave my home and everything. I'm going to go to Alaska and go to camping up there. But the Lord said, I can do it.
So sad.
But, yeah.
I feel so bad for the people that are suffering.
Now, we should feel that for them. In other words, it would be insensitive to talk heartlessly about their suffering that way. In other words, they deserve it and whatever. Where are we to judge? We leave it to the Lord. And even some of the churches, what happened was it some time ago, even the churches were gone in that tornado.
That's right. Yeah.
That 300-mile-an-hour tornado,
yes.
You know, even the churches were gone. They're just brick buildings.
How about the one in Italy, St. Francis of Assisi?
Yeah, that was, they had to restore that. Yes?
Well, it reminds me of the scripture that says, God lets the rain to fall on the good and the bad alike. That's
yeah.
Like the tornadoes, the good as well as the...
Well, look at the war. The good and the bad suffered.
Right.
Remember the story I told you about the nuns, the convent of 60 nuns in Dresden, when Churchill authorized pattern bombing? Do you know what that means? Kill everybody in there. So you get the factory, but everybody. That meant the poor, the innocent, and the children and the wives and whatever and anybody. Well, this convent was bombed. And when they came into the city looking for living people, they walked into the chapel. And there, kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament, were 60 nuns dead. All died in that bombing. So the good and the bad. See? It's like the martyrdoms of the early Christians. They were fed to the wolves. Children were dressed as sheep so that the animals would eat them. How horrible. Yes?
But, Father, that's not a punishment to them because they're with God.
They're going to heaven.
Yes.
Right.
Martyrdom is considered the greatest act of love.
That's right.
Heroic. They're automatically saints. Church canonizes them. Yes. Jill?
Father, is the church guilty of having too many beautiful gold and, you know...
Yeah, it's been said we hold on to those treasures too much. It's been said about the treasures of the Vatican that they could be sold and given to the poor.
Yeah.
And there have been arguments back and forth on that. And then many of the cathedrals in around the city have, you know, their arts, treasure, and they're, what, just to look at.
Yeah.
Well, around the cathedral, the people are dying of starvation. And now if Jesus came, what would he do? What would he do with the money changers in the temple? You know, not that these museums are in the temple, the yeah. cathedral, but they are a museum. And in Jesus' way of looking at things, what do you think he would do?
But actually, Father, they're priceless. Who could afford to buy them?
Who could they sell them to? But there are people that, even on the black market, they're hidden because they're stolen.
Yeah.
But these people want to have these just to admire them for their own pleasure. But there are people like that, you know. Yes, but the things that the Kennedys sold, you know, and this little baseball cap that...
Yeah, really.
Somebody wore, you know,